In today's gospel, Christ calls us to bear good fruit or risk losing everything. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Some people told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means, but I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means, but I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. And he told them this parable. There was once a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you might have heard the little story about this man who died and who found himself outside the gates of heaven in this long line of people. There's a long line heading up to this kind of a podium, and there at the podium was St. Peter with his big book. People would go up and he'd look in the book, and most people would end up going into heaven, but a few trudged off in the opposite direction. So finally, this man himself gets up there. Peter looks at him and says, "Oh," he says, "Albert Thibault." "Yes, Albert." Opens up the book, goes down the page, looks up, turns the page again, looks down, looks up, shakes his head. Albert says, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. I didn't do anything." St. Peter says, "Precisely. You didn't do anything." So you see the point of the story. It's pretty much what we see in the gospel today about the fig tree, isn't it? Fig tree is going to get cut down. Why? Not because it produced bad fruit, rotten fruit. It gets cut down because it produced no fruit of any sort. The fig tree didn't do anything. So you see the point for you and me. Jesus expects of us the good fruit of the kingdom. He'll be patient with us. Give it another year, so to speak. But ultimately, we're expected to produce the good fruit of the kingdom. This is not the only time in the scripture where Jesus makes that point very clearly. Just past Thursday at Mass, our daily Mass, the gospel of the day was that very familiar story that we've all heard many times of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember the rich man sitting at his table eating sumptuously, dressed in fine clothes, and there's the poor beggar Lazarus at his door, covered with sores, starving. We're told that when they die, Lazarus goes to heaven. The rich man goes to hell. Why does the rich man go to hell? He didn't kick Lazarus out of his house, the portal there. He didn't kick him when he walked by him. He didn't spit on him, didn't call him bad names. So why does the rich man go to hell? Because he didn't do any good for Lazarus when he could have. He didn't do bad to Lazarus, but he didn't do any good when he could have. didn't produce the fruit expected by God. So I think the lesson is clear for us. We need to produce the good fruit of the kingdom. Now, when we say this, though, let's be clear about one thing. Christ is not telling us that we earn our way into heaven by the good things that we do. It's not what he's saying at all. We cannot earn the gift of heaven. Heaven is earned for us by Christ, his dying and rising, his sharing God's mercy with us, his sharing his life with us. That's all a gift. We can't earn it. But once we've received the gift, we have to live in accord with it. Once we've received that gift, we have to, as St. John said, talking about Christ, he said one place, if you want to know whether you're in Christ or not, then ask yourself, are you living just as he lived? So once we receive the gift of Christ's life, we live as he lived. That means producing the fruit of the kingdom. A couple of years ago, there was something that happened that I thought was very in a sense, mind-boggling, but at the same time, very instructive about what this looks like, producing the fruit of the kingdom. It took place in Spain. There was a track meet going on, one of these professional track meets, and the 3,000-meter run was taking place. And as it began to take place, it went on, the man who was leading the race was a Kenyan runner by the name of Abel Mutai. Now, Mutai had actually won the silver medal in the previous Summer Olympics. He's leading the race by about 100 feet. No question he was going to win. Second place, there was a Spanish runner by the name of Ivan Anaya. And he was probably 50 or 60 feet ahead of his other pursuer. So Mutai and Anaya were going to finish one and two, no question about it. And then something very strange happened. Mutai is running along, all of a sudden he stops about 10 yards short of the finish line. He just stops, turns around, looks at the other runners coming down, and, you know, Anaya's coming along, and he's wondering, why did he stop? All of a sudden it became clear why he stopped. He thought he had crossed the finish line. He made a mistake about where the finish line was. He thought he had crossed. So when Anaya gets up to him, he says to him, the finish line's up there. The finish line's up there. So Mutai turns around, runs past up the finish line and finishes first, and then Anaya goes up and finishes second. Well, after the race, somebody said to Anaya, why did you do that? You could have just run right by him. You could have run right by him and won the race, collected the prize money. And this is what Anaya said. He said, look, he was the winner of the race. It was clear he was winning that race. He was going to win easily. He made a mistake about the finish line, but he was going to be the winner of the race. I simply let him win what he earned, what he won. Now, many people would think that Anaya was crazy to do that. That's not the way we play games. For example, it's a football game. Down in the last minute, a pass is thrown, the receiver's wide open, he drops the ball. We don't stop the game and say, wait a minute, you always catch that ball. We're going to make believe you caught that ball. We don't do that. Or it's a baseball game, and the winning run's on third base, somebody hits a ground ball to the shortstop, he boots it, the winning run scores. We don't say to the shortstop, you know, you're a great fielder. You never make any errors. We're just going to make believe you didn't make that error. We don't do that, right? Because within the game itself, if you make a mistake, that's part of the game. But in this case, you see, the mistake that Mutai made was not part of the game, so to speak. If it was part of the game, he made a mistake as part of the game, he might have stumbled and fallen as he was running. That's a mistake that's part of the game. Or he pulled up lame. That's a mistake that's part of the game. But the mistake where the finish line was, that's not really part of the game. So in Anaya's mind, he was the winner of the race. But a lot of people would say, that's crazy. But I wonder if it is, you see. Is that the way the kingdom of God looks? Is that the way the kingdom of God looks? Now, St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, lists a whole series of what he calls the fruits of the Spirit. 10 or 11 things, the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, peace, love, generosity, mercy, and so forth. That's what followers of Christ who have accepted the gift, that's what their lives look like, the fruits of the Spirit. And I think that's what Anaya was showing there. Fruit of the Spirit, generosity. So, what are the fruits of the Spirit that the Lord expects of you and me? You know, the great British author H.G. Wells, who wrote a lot of very popular science fiction books. Remember The War of the Worlds or The Time Machine? Those are all H.G. Wells books. But he wrote someplace else, something like this, that he was very distressed that there were so many goodness-sakers. You know what a goodness-saker is? A goodness-saker is a person who says, for goodness sakes, somebody should do something about that, without recognizing that they're the ones who should be doing something about it. Goodness-sakers. Goodness-sakers aren't producing the fruit of the kingdom. But you and I need to. There's a German philosopher who was once asked the question, give me some words to live by. Give me something to live my life by. There's a philosopher thought, and he said, clean the sidewalk in front of your own house. Because if everybody cleans the sidewalk in front of their own house, the world will be clean. See the point, huh? Produce the fruits of the kingdom where you are. Don't worry about who's doing what to who or someplace else. You produce the fruits of the kingdom where you are. That's what the Lord expects of us. Wonderful little story I'd conclude with. It took place in Paris, France during the Second World War. As you know, the France was occupied by the Germans very early in the war. So on this particular day, riding the subway, a whole bunch of French people, and this little old lady was sitting right by the door of the subway. The subway stops, and who walks in but this big German stormtrooper, uniform on, you know, shiny boots, the whole thing. And the little lady's sitting there with her umbrella, and as he walks by her, he trips on her umbrella, and he falls down. His pride, of course, is damaged, and his knee's banged up, but his pride is damaged more than anything. He stands up in a huff and rushes off the subway. And as he leaves, and the doors close, all the French people start clapping. And the old woman looks at them and says, I know it's not much, but that's the sixth one I've brought down today. But you see the point, right? You produce the fruits of the kingdom where you are. You do what God expects you to do where you are. The fruits of the kingdom there. That's the important thing. So as we gather today, as we enter more fully into our Lenten journey, I think the Lord's asking us, what fruits does he have a right to expect from you and me? What fruits are there actually in our life? You know, somebody said once, I think it's a wonderful thought, you shouldn't pray for peace. You should pray that God make you a peacemaker. So where's peace needed in your world, in your family, in your school, your place of work? Are you a peacemaker? Are you producing the fruits of the kingdom there? Or again, don't pray that hungry people have enough to eat. Pray that God send you somebody who's hungry that you can feed. That's a powerful thought, I think, you know. Pray that God give us the grace to produce the fruits of the kingdom where we are. Because then we'll show that we have received the gift of our redemption, that we celebrate every time we come here at this altar. We take part in Christ dying and rising. He gives us the gift of redemption. We need to produce the fruits of that gift. May God bless you.